Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. We are here to discuss everything that happened as part of a pretty tumultuous first game week of the season, given everything that happened in the UK over the last few days between postponements and all the rest of it. But the good news is Sale are 1-1, 29-22 point winners over Northampton Saints on Sunday afternoon eventually. Alex, first of all to you, how are you, and how good was it to be back at the AJ Bell on Sunday afternoon?
I'm very well, thanks mate, and yeah, it was superb to be back. It's obviously been a long time since we were back there. It was a great day for rugby, lovely weather, good crowd in, and yeah, it was just really nice to see us back and see some of those new signings and some of those old faces on the pitch. So it was a real sort of really good atmosphere at the ground before the game. For those of you who haven't had a chance to catch up on PRTV's pool match, which only went up about 3 hours before we were recording this. So, it was national anthem before the game as well, so that was quite a nice start to the season. Just, you know, it was a real sort of, there's a bit of somberness at the start, and then once the rugby kicked off, it was really full into the rugby and the crowd behind the team. So yeah, I enjoyed the experience massively. I think the AJ Bell continued to make steady improvements, and hopefully we can see the big improvements on the match day over the season. But the rugby was frustrating at times, brilliant at times, as Sale always is. So yeah, overall coming away from it positive, but there's always a few ups and downs to unpick in the podcast, which is why it's good to have this therapy session on a Monday. How are you?
Yeah, very, very well, thank you. I'm going to be leaning on you guys a lot because, like you said, being out here in Australia, unfortunately, the Stan Sport full match replay hasn't come on yet on our airwaves, so I've not been able to see the full match. I've only been able to see the highlights, and obviously with the game being moved from the Friday night to the Sunday afternoon, it's obviously kind of put a bit of a spanner in our plans, but we are pro podcasters because of our ability to make things work. James, speaking of which, obviously, you know, you weren't at the AJ Bell on Sunday, but you know, what was your sort of immediate takeaway from this? Because look, you know, from my perspective, it's a try bonus point win for Sale, 5 out of 5 to start the season. Like, you know, on one hand, it's tick, 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 tick. But on the other hand, I woke up to Alex messaging me saying, you know, how have we managed to concede 20 odd points in the last few minutes and given Northampton something that they didn't deserve? So, you know, which side of the fence do you fall down on given Sunday's event?
Well, I took the liberty of looking at Northampton Saints Twitter. Not the actual official club, but the local sports reporter. They still actually have a local rugby union sports reporter still. I think it's called the Northampton Echo or something like that. But anyway, his view of the game was very much that they should have been ahead at half time and had had like a lot of the game in the first half, and going in 10-3 was an absolute nightmare. They butchered at least one try. You know, I think that they were happy to come away with the bonus point, but think that, you know, they shouldn't have got themselves into that position where they were so far behind, and actually on another day they could have won the game. So I don't think they're coming away too dispirited. You know, an away game at the AJ Bell, they've not won in their last 4 visits, and to come away with a bonus point against the top 4 co-contender, I think they're pretty happy. So it's always interesting to see the other side of the coin. So I think from our point of view, it's probably, I think, almost like it would have been ideal not to give them the bonus point, but it's always good to come away from these things with your feet on the ground. You know, you've not just played one game and think you're going to win the Premiership. You know, we might have some fitness and concentration to work on at ends of game there. Maybe there's, you know, we brought our bench on quite early this time, and maybe that impacted later on in the game when Northampton were offloading their bench. So it's good to have things to work on, but to come away, we know you lose your first game of the season, and you know you then have to go away from home second game, and before you know it, you're on a losing trot. And we know how difficult that's to get out of. So just getting a win, especially 5 points, and scoring 4 tries, you know, we asked the team to be playing more expansively. Well, actually, you know, the tries were good. You know, they were good. You know, good to watch. I think Gus Waugh's post match interview sort of summed it up really, which is, you know, get out of your own half. That is whether it's, you know, kicking to compete or kicking the length ball. And then when you're in the opposition half, let's try and score tries. And I thought, okay, that's actually a bit of a mindset shift, one from last season. So I'm really, really happy. We've started the season. We've got going. So let's hope we can get on a winning trot.
So you were there on Sunday, Alex. And, what was your take on the game? Because obviously it sounds like, you know, maybe Northampton sort of shot themselves in the foot a little bit. Again, it was an understrength Saints side, but also an understrength Sale side. No George Ford, no Johnny Hill, no Tom Curry, etc. I mean, we're coming off the very first weekend of the season. Are you satisfied with the performance Sale put together?
Yeah, I am overall, I think. There was a really frustrating 20 minutes in the last 20 minutes, basically, which is when I sent some ranty text to you two about how we're never going to win the league if we carried on like this. But when you look at the game as an overall, so the first half was really scrappy from both sides. Our lineup was absolutely dreadful for some reason. I think Josh Beaumont was on the bench, which I think might have been a change to the original team. So we had Postlethwaite and Visa, so we didn't have great line-out, sort of that line-out caller. And I don't know whether Acker's throwing was contributing to that as well or not. So we couldn't get the line-out going, which meant we gave away a lot of momentum. Our discipline was pretty awful in the first half, so again, we gave away a lot of momentum. But actually, in between all of that, the signs were there that, to be honest, we were the better team. We were playing the better rugby. We were more solid in defence. We were more threatening in attack. We just kept giving up the momentum at every turn to Northampton. And, you know, they had a couple of lineouts 5 metres from our line that we defended. So to come away from that first half 10-3 up, it was in one way frustrating because you felt like we were good enough to be 17-3 up at least. There's a really, I think it's on the highlights, but it's definitely on the full match replay. Obviously, there's a really good chance for effectively Tom Roebuck where Luke James breaks the line and throws the ball to Tom Roebuck, who then sort of knocks it on with the line at his mercy, basically. So that was a bit of a butchered opportunity. And there were a couple of others where we probably could have scored. But given all the mistakes we've made and in fact how poor we'd been in some areas of the game, some very isolated areas, but nevertheless areas, I think 10-3 was okay at half-time. We then came out in the first 20 minutes in the second half and played some of the best rugby we've played in ages. We just absolutely smashed them. We were way more physical. We cut out all those errors. Tommy Taylor and Josh Beaumont came on. The line-out got going. We'd mashed them in the scrum all first half anyway, and we continued to do that. So then it was sort of a massive high, thinking we're playing brilliant rugby. Sam James was absolutely superb yesterday, all game, I think. He put a lovely little kick in for Tom O'Flaherty's try. So great to see Tom O'Flaherty on the score sheet as well. We were spinning the ball. Tom Roebuck was running through people, you know, willy-nilly. It was just unbelievable. The Sam James try he basically makes, but he also, that Luke James break in the first half, he makes that from the other end of the field. You know, he made about 50, 60 metres before that. So there was some real, real highlights. And then we sort of seemed to get to 29-3. And then we just switched off a little bit. And with Saints, with the pace they've got, and, you know, you were talking about this relative strength of the team. I think we were way closer to a first team than they were. They were missing some really big players. But they still had a lot of pace in the team. And we still always know that that's going to hurt us. You know, Proctor, Slightholm, Collins, really, really quick guys. Mitchell as well from nine was causing us a lot of problems. So that pace then sort of told. And it just looked like we switched off 2%, no more. You know, just an occasional gap in the line. But all of a sudden, they scored three tries. And for a pretty big portion of the second half, it genuinely looked like they could get back into it and win the game. And, you know, had they were 12 points down with 10 minutes to go, you know, and they had all the momentum. So that was the frustrating bit. And I think it's that switching off that's a bit concerning. And we've made a couple of silly errors, you know, took a quick line out when we didn't need to, that gave them a scrum 10 metres from our line. So there's definitely bits to work on. But I think when you look at it in the overall, there was loads of really good attack in rugby. The set piece was pretty solid scrum-wise all game and line-out second half. the defence was as good as it always is. So, you know, all the pieces are there. We just need that. There's a bit of a discipline issue in the first half. There's a bit of a mentality issue in the second half, I think. But it's the first game of the season. There's rustiness. There's, you know, there's tiredness. It's going to get there. And I feel like they're all very easy things to work on. The other, you know, Northampton really troubled our blind side by, you know, playing one out and then cutting back the opposite way. That's where they got loads of success. And it's those kind of things where you think, okay, these are easy things to fix and work on in the training ground. We know it's the first game of the season. As you say, to come away with a bonus point win overall, after that, it's a bit of a roller coaster to watch. But actually, as you say, if you hadn't seen the game and you came and you went, okay, 29-22 at home to Northampton, that's pretty good. I think it's annoying to give them a bonus point, but it's not disastrous. We've got a 5-point win, and that is the main thing. So, yeah, it's, as I think James is right, it's a good start to the season. It means we're not on this two-game losing streak that we seem to get into. I think the crucial thing is, can we fix those problem areas pretty quickly, which remains to be seen? And can we... We've done this before. We win the first game and then we just go on a losing streak. We did it for the last two seasons where we start, we win the first game and then all of a sudden it's the next five that are really crucial. So that'll be really interesting to see how that goes. But some really, really good performances that give me a lot of encouragement in positions where we were maybe struggling a bit last season. Especially, we'll talk about it later, but I just thought Sam James looked back to his old self, which is massively encouraging.
Well, James, you mentioned quite interestingly the comment from Gus War after the game. And I know actually Axe had something similar mentioned in his post-match comments, you know, about the kind of deliberate change in mentality or tactics even from the club this year to be a bit more attacking. This was obviously the first game really of a new era for Sale, with, given the incomings and outgoings that we've had last year. And even though the team isn't at full strength, this did have a real sort of feel about sort of starting anew or being a little bit different. So I guess from your perspective, which part of that kind of new look team that we rolled out yesterday sort of impressed you the most? You know, is it O'Flaherty on the wing, who had a, you know, pretty sterling debut? Is it the increased impact of someone like Sam James, who had probably one of his best games in a Sale shirt for a long time? Is it the scrum dominance we had, etc.? You know, what sort of stood out for you as being the most impactful change, you know, that we've seen season to season?
Well, I do think it was telling that a lot of our tries were out wide. Thinking of both the James brothers' tries, you know, and I think that just goes to show that we're spreading it that little bit further. And what it looked like was that we were going up middle, you know, sucking the defenders and creating the space is what you want. It's not just about going wide. You know, that's what Bristol found out last year, right? Just throw the ball wide really, really quickly. Fit teams just run side to side. You know, for the whole game, and you don't get anywhere. You've got to get over the game line, and I think we saw that. But there's a few things that really pleased me. Number one, Gus War, for whatever reason, hasn't had the full support of the Sale supporters. There's been a few people who have been like, well, I don't think he's going to be good enough, etc. For him to get a try, the first try was really nicely done, and he just really focusing on quick service from the base. You know, we know that Axe has got a lot of faith and trust in him to give him the nod as well over Joe Simpson. You know, I think is a really, really big call. And, you know, I think he's had a good game, and we saw him having a really good game at the turn of last year in January. And he was just really, really unlucky that, you know, just as he was, you know, he got himself ahead of Will Cliff in the pecking order, you know, which is something to do. And then Rafi Quirk got released from the England squad. And then Faf came back early from injury. And it just meant that he didn't even get in the 23 and sort of lost that momentum. He's going to have a run of games now before Rafi's back. And, you know, can he get into that rhythm and show that he's actually, you know, a premiership option to start the game? You know, we've all got all of our chips on Rafi. We can't have that. We're not going to be a successful club. We've got all of our chips on one player in any position. And I think the other shout is see the James brothers play at their best under Sanderson. I don't think we've seen both of them at the same time play at their best. and we did this time. I think it's absolutely crucial for the way that we're going to play the game. You know, with distribution, doing the basics really right. Sam James looked to look much more dynamic going forwards as well, much more confident. That's key. So really pleased with that. And then finally, if I may, just the impact off the bench of Beaumont and Taylor. Taylor looks like he's trimmed down, but it's actually made him a bit more powerful and mobile around the pitch. And I think that, you know, a lot of us were like, oh, I was, you know, sad that Curtis Langdon's leaving. But there's not many clubs in the Premiership who have a third choice hooker called Tommy Taylor. That is a position of real strength for us under the new salary cap rules. And I thought he came, not only came on and fixed the line out, but there was that pass off his left hand. was that for the Sam James try? I think, or it was
went out to Roebuck, didn't it? And then Roebuck cut inside and fed the and out the back to James. It was it was Academy product try all over, and it was superb.
It really was, but I mean, you know, pass off your left hand, spin pass, miss pass. That's not messing around, and actually that I think epitomised the change in mindset, because any other time for Sale, it would have been, you know, arm under, try and dominate a collision, try and get over the gain line, but just to get the ball and fling it on, but so accurately. I mean, if that had been Ewan Ashman or Aka van der Merwe, everyone would have been falling over themselves. So Tommy Taylor's real option for us this year, and it was great to see two of the old boys of the academy really come on and make the difference, and they could both feel like real new signings this year.
I think just on Tom Roebuck, that's a player that I wanted to highlight. Now, I'm obviously a bit of a stat sheet surfer, and I've got the Premiership Rugby figures up in front of me right now. And just to pause on that a little bit, you know, Roebuck, 8 carries for 99 metres, 7 defenders beaten, and 3 clean breaks. Just a really, really encouraging stat line from a player who obviously took massive leaps last year, but the manner in which he was interacting and working inside and out for some of those tries that we've just mentioned is a really interesting development, I think, to his game, because ultimately, when you have a winger who's as powerful and as quick as Roebuck, and you see this across all forms of rugby, you oftentimes see them pop up in the midfield, especially in that 13 channel, to either hit holes or run over people or actually change the point of attack to go from outside to inside and actually open up space, as we saw on Sunday. So I just wanted to touch very briefly on Roebuck, because I thought that was, of all the players yesterday, I mean, Sam James had a fantastic game, 2 try assists, and he made 76 metres himself. I thought it was really interesting just to see how much usage Tom Roebuck was getting and obviously how effective he was. To have 3 clean breaks in a single game is extremely impressive, as is beating over 5 defenders in a single game. So that was one thing I really wanted to point out. And again, it'd be interesting to see if that continues over the next couple of weeks. And the other thing I noticed, obviously, is a slight sort of sea change in terms of how we're using our fullbacks. Luke James had his hands on the ball a lot more than we've become accustomed to over the previous years. And whether this points to a tweak in Deacon's attacking system, whether or not it's the influence of George Ford or Sanderson, whoever, it was just one thing that immediately stuck out, which is we haven't had a 15 join the line as a secondary distributor or a secondary playmaker really since Mike Haley was in the team. And he used to get a lot of touches playing alongside like Cipriani or indeed AJ McGinty in his early Sale career. But I just found it very interesting. When you have a very intelligent footballer, as we know Luke James is, I thought it was interesting that there's a clear shift of emphasis here to put him in more decision-making positions and let him help shape the attack a little bit. And Luke James, 10 carries, 43 metres, 2 clean breaks as well. And obviously we saw throughout the game just how effective he was as a late runner coming into the line. So just a really interesting couple of schematic tweaks that we saw from we saw from Sale at the weekend, which hopefully points to maybe a little bit more invention and a little bit more fluidity in terms of our attacking game. With that said, I guess, Alex, one question I have for you, you know, Tom Curtis, a player that we've been talking a lot about in the build-up to the new season. He obviously came on for Manu Tuilagi after around 55 minutes. I'm interested to get your thoughts in terms of, you know, kind of where he settled in at in terms of the back line and how he went. And also get your thoughts, obviously, on Tom O'Flaherty as well. You know, those are the two players coming into this week, because we knew Johnny Hill, et cetera, weren't going to be playing, that I was very intrigued to see how they go. And so, yeah, I just want to get your thoughts first on Curtis and then on O'Flaherty.
Yeah, so Curtis obviously came on for Manu. And just before I talk about him, I massive amount of praise for Manu, because I think he will get no credit for what he did on Sunday. But we were talking before about going wide. The only reason we could do that was because Manu was offering that option, going straight into them, that they just couldn't deal with. And if it went to Manu, he made ground. And if it went round them, they'd already put three defenders on him. So he was very quietly really effective on Sunday, but just didn't see that much of the ball. He didn't make the big break. He didn't score the try. But actually, he allowed us to play that wide game. And I think that'll be really important. And it'll be interesting to see what we do when we don't have Manu as to whether we can continue that. Because I do think once he was off the field, we struggled to kind of have that same impact in the middle. And Saints were able to drift a bit more. That said, Curtis obviously came on for him and had a decent game. I think there's still a bit of a relationship to work out there between Rob Dupree and Tom Curtis. You know, there were times when we had both of them on the field, but Simpson was looking up from the base for a 10 to take the ball. You know, it's kind of, was definitely, and Simpson as well, you know, it's his first real, well, it's his first game in anger in a sail shirt. So there's relationships to be built. I think the one moment of quality Tom Curtis showed was for the Tom O'Flaherty try. If you watch his pass out to Sam James, it is just perfect. It's absolutely pinpoint. It flies across the field, and it means Sam James has loads of options, and he chooses a really clever one in kicking it through. But it's all made by Curtis sort of putting this pass in. It's just, when I watched it, I thought that is an incredible pass. And then Sam James does something even more incredible in putting a beautifully weighted kick through Tom O'Flaherty that will take all the plaudits. But it was a real moment of quality. His kicking looked really good. He only kicked really from backfield, didn't do much tactical kicking, but he strikes the ball really sweetly with his boot. Put one up and under him that went absolutely miles in the air. It went like out the stadium high. It was ridiculous. So I think there's a lot of encouraging signs. There's a bit of a relationship to be built. 9, 10, 12, where does he play? Is he a 10? Is he a 12? Is Rob Dupree a 10 or a 12? So that's still to come. But I think there are a couple of moments of real quality in that match that are encouraging for Tom Curtis. Tom O'Flaherty was sensational all game as well, I think. You know, did the basics really well, provided a real threat on the wing, sniffed out his try really well. You know, the pace he showed was matching that of Collins and Slightholm. And it's what we've missed, you know, with O'Flaherty and Reid and Roebuck. We've got three incredibly quick ringers, and we've not had that for a long time, have we? So I think that's the most encouraging thing. But his basics just superb. And he makes sensible decisions. He was in backfield a lot of the time, and there was a bit of a kicking battle going on. You know, he knows when to carry, he knows when to kick. He just looks exactly what we expected of him, which is obviously really fast and a try scorer and really threatening, but also accurate and a really sensible player, and someone who can hopefully bring a lot of that experience to Reid and Roebuck as they continue their improvement. So, no, both, I think O'Flaherty had the better game, made a real impact, but Curtis, the potential is still there, and I think it's still really exciting. It'll just be good to see him as a 10 on his own. And I noticed as he walked out to warm up, James mentioned in the preview that little bit of arrogance that you need, and he was walking down the touchline, you know, spinning the ball in his hand, having a laugh, like it was no pressure in the world to be back at the AJ Bell first game of the season. So I think it's still there, and hopefully it continues for the rest of the season, because, you know, he's got the quality to be a real, real special player. And I think those little moments you see are so encouraging for later down the line when he, you know, gets a proper full games and full runouts towards the end of the season.
James, I guess I'll give you final say on this. Was there anyone else that you wanted to kind of highlight from you know, Sunday's game? It feels like we've kind of gone almost 1 through 23. So just chance to highlight anyone we've not already spoken about yet?
To be honest, no. I mean, fair play to Rob Dupree. Got most of his kicks. You know, it's easy to talk about, you know, for James to bang on for 45 minutes about how amazing Tom Curtis is. But, you know, they've gone with Rob to start the season, and he did exactly what the coaching staff wanted him to do. And, you know, massive fair play to him. So we need to give him credit. Just from a Saints perspective, obviously we didn't do a preview before that, but I thought, you know, Furbank coming on made a big difference for them, because then they had that fullback joining the line who is also next level distributor at this level. And he was a big part of the reason why, you know, we were sort of cut up a bit in defence. I think it probably didn't help that, you know, we had sort of, you know, as soon as you have an axis of Rob Dupree, Curtis and Sam James, you've got three people who play, you know, sort of premiership fly off there. So your defence is going to change in nature a little bit there, isn't it? And add Furbank to the mix. I thought he made a big difference. I don't think they'll be leaving him on the bench again. Although Tom Collins was excellent with his pace, I think his season will be more on the wing.
Brilliant. Well, before we move on to next week, because obviously the games are going to start coming thick and fast, I guess, Alex, just one final point just from this weekend's action. I know I was looking a little bit more closely at some of the results and fixtures than I usually do, because it's just so good to have rugby back. Did anything else sort of catch your eye in terms of results from this weekend before we move on to Bath and their fall?
I think it was a really good weekend of rugby, wasn't it? The Exeter-Leicester game was pretty exciting, and you know, good to see Exeter back and kind of winning games and hopefully being competitive. Obviously, a real shame for Worcester over at London Irish that, you know, they, with everything going on with them, we kind of almost to be expected. So, you know, not an unhappy result, but just hope they can, you know, keep playing, and fundamentally that's the main thing. I was surprised to see Wasps 21-0 up at Gloucester. I was really shocked when I saw that come through. I was less surprised when then Gloucester came back and pulled it back. So, but I think the one that sort of almost troubled me most is the fact that we're going away to Bath next week, who last season were whipping boys for everyone in the league, and they appear to be pretty competitive and quite good, because they ran a very good Bristol side pretty close. I haven't seen much of that game, because obviously it wasn't on. It got moved, and then the highlights and everything else. But I have seen Ellis Genge's try, which is absolutely mind-blowing, where he takes the tip on from Sinclair and then just runs through the entire defence. So I think Bristol are going to be a scary prospect with Genge this season. I think Leicester are going to miss him massively. But yeah, looking ahead to next week, it looks like Bath might be back and ready to cause us a bit of trouble at the Rec. So I'm not massively looking forward to going away and being Bath's first home game of the season in the autumn sun, probably, and then kind of getting the crowd behind them. I think it's going to be a really, really tough ask next week. But it's just, as you say, it's great to have rugby back, and I think a really good round of games and a really exciting round of games for everyone involved.
Yeah, which leads on really nicely. Thank you for the Bath preview. It's great to have these previews back. And as always with the first ones, you know, you can't help but have a look at the changes in squad. And actually, Bath is one of those squads that have changed quite a lot. Obviously, new coaching, a lot of pressure on that coach to turn things around. You know, and let's be honest, there is a turnaround that's been needed at Bath. Last year, they got themselves in a right old rut. They were absolutely dominated up front, you know, which was a big issue for them. Obviously, they were without the likes, you know, quite a lot of injuries all throughout the year. People like, you know, but Benno Urbano, even Tom Dunn was injured for long periods of time. You know, when you're without some of these players, especially now when the salary cap is reduced, if you have injuries in the wrong places, it's going to be really difficult for teams to compete. But I do think that Bath, and we said this in the season preview, they're not going to be as bad last year as they were this year. It's just not possible when you have a look at their squad. Right, you got people like, well, you got Ben Spencer at nine. You know, and his try at the weekend was absolutely superb. Two outrageous dummies. Absolutely outrageous. The first one was outrageous. You don't often see that dummy from the base of the ruck and then go through from a scrum half anymore. But it was then the dummy on the fullback at pace, because he could have looked like a right knobhead if he had dummied, then the fullback would have. I mean, that was a classic example. If you're a fullback, just nail the person with the ball. Don't start worrying about who's he going to pass it to, and maybe try and get an intercept and run. Just go back to basics and nail the person with the ball. Because to go back to the signings, you know, we've got here some South African beef that have been added to this pack. We've been down this road. Saracens have been down this road. Everyone has pretty much been down this road of adding South African beef. But actually, I do think it's going to make a bit of difference. You know, people who didn't even play at the weekend, people like Quinn Roos back from Toulon. Yeah, he's an Irish international, but he's South African. You've got even Van Velser is back. You know, the ex Worcester captain, also Saints captain. He's 34 now, but they brought him back from a bit of experience from the base of the scrum. Chris Clerty from Munster, South African. They've got at the base of the scrum with the scrum half, they've got Lewis Schroeder from Newcastle, who I think is a really good signing for them, because he gives them options to come on and control the game at nine when Spencer's had made that initial impact. So I think there's more to that. I mean, they've got lots of props in and all sorts. But I think that from our perspective, what it means is that they're going to be more competitive up front, and then they've got a lot of youngsters in the back line. You know, Cameron Redpath is back from long-term injury at 12. Always going to be interesting to see him play against Sale, because, you know, for a long time he was the future for us. He's gone to Bath. Every time he's played, he's been brilliant, but he's played about 4 games in 3 years. So that's going to be really interesting. And Max Ojomo as well is someone who really, really came through last year in a poor season for Bath. He was really exceptional in the centre, both at 12 and at 13. He also has a good skill set on him and a good kicking game. He even played, I think, one or two games at 10 for Bath last year. So I think he's a great signing. And when you've got names in the team like Ojomo and De Glanville, you know that there's good. It's sort of in the blood, literally. And I think that Bath are one of those clubs. It's in the blood, and if they can just get a couple of wins, last season will be forgotten. It's a new era with a few new players, and so we need to be absolutely on point, right? Yes, that they don't have Faletau anymore. You know, they've lost a few other players as well, but you know, this is a team to be reckoned with. A bit more hard edge, but we're still the class. We've got to be completely on it. One player to look out for, I'm not going to do a head-to-head this week. I just want to flag one player that I do think is going to be an England international coming through at Bath, and his name is Ewan Richards. He's on the bench this weekend. He's a second row, but they also play him at blindside sometimes. I think he's going to be the second row, because we're a bit short on second row at England level, you know. I think we're all hoping that Ewan Richards comes through. Probably not in time for this World Cup, or probably for the World Cups afterwards. So, yeah, I suppose over to you guys in terms of, you know, their youngsters are another year on, the Baileys, the Jomos, etc. Some South African beef. With home advantage, is that going to be enough to turn over a rampant Sale side?
Well, I guess the thing is, if Sale are going to be a top 14 this year, these are the games that you have to win. And it's such a cliche, and it feels like we do recycle them a lot because there's only 13 teams in the league. But at the moment, you know, Sale are, well, in the midst of changing a little bit, but Bath are very much at the bottom of their cycle. And the last couple of years, they've been trending downwards. They've obviously made the coaching changes to bring in Van Grand from Munster. They've obviously made the signings you just mentioned, James. But this is a team that's on the up. And actually, we have to kind of look at it from Bath's perspective, which is if they beat Sale, that would actually be more impressive for Bath than it would be for Sale at this stage, given where both teams are. So I think the interesting thing now is going to be, can Sale sort of cement themselves as being a proper contender for the top four and back up a very impressive victory from the week prior? If you can go down to Bath and not even win with a bonus point, but just pick up, you know, a good solid 22 points to 10 win, I think a lot of people, myself included, are going to feel very confident about our ability to go the distance this year. What you don't want to see is what Alex mentioned before, which is, you know, you put in a really good performance at home, against a team that you should beat, and then you go away from home against a team you should beat, and you don't. The good news is Sale are in some decent form to start the year. The combinations were working really well on Sunday. And I think right now, and I'll go to you now, Alex, and see what you reckon, but I think you keep the team the same and roll them out against Bath next week. And realistically, this team should be good enough to do the job, regardless of what Bath have done over the summer.
Yeah, I agree. I think that was pretty much our strongest team. And I said on the day we were closer to our strongest team than Saints were. And I think, you know, we had people missing George Ford, Johnny Hill, but you don't really miss what you didn't have. And Bevan Rod and Tom Curry obviously also missing. But other than that, you know, I mean, Simon McIntyre was brilliant in the scrum at the weekend. So I think there's very, very few people who played themselves out of contention. I'd like to see Beaumont start just for that balance in the second row. I think with Postlethwaite and Visa, it's kind of almost two of the same player. And you don't. That was part of the reason we really struggled in the lineup, because they were chucking up Groves and their other second row were just dominating us in every throw, attacking or defending. So I wouldn't expect any changes, and I don't think I would make any changes really. And I agree. I think, you know, this team looked good enough to beat Bath, but it's going to be a really tough challenge away at Bath. And I think we have to take heart from the 20 minutes we played after half time, which were really, really good, really accurate rugby. And we have to just try and cut out the discipline issues were a worry in the first half, completely cut them out in the second half from memory, really. Didn't really struggle, but first half, Carly was just all over us. And to be fair, it was all over both teams. It didn't make for a great spectacle. A lot of whistles going all over the place. So, yeah, I agree with you. I think this team is really strong as it is. There's no one really pushing through. There's no one coming back from injury. Maybe some tweaks to the starting 15, as I say, bringing Beaumont off the bench. I think Tommy Taylor, as you said, had a superb game, but I think that impact in the second half actually makes it, you know, really, really useful for him to be on the bench. And then hopefully we can sort of continue to play that expansive game, because, you know, any team is going to struggle with that. And I think Bath will, if we can hold them in that first half and really make those impacts in the middle of the field, it'll open up the wide channels. And you know, Sam James, Tom Roebuck, Tom O'Flaherty, Luke James, you know, there's tries begging. So, yeah, it's an intriguing game. I think it'll be a really good watch, I hope, because usually our games away at Bath are absolutely dreadful watches, and it ends 6-3. So that's my hope. And I think Sale can win this, but I think it's a really tough test. And I wouldn't be surprised if Bath turned us over. And, you know, it's really hard at this point in the season, isn't it, to work out, is a loss away at Bath a good or a bad result? Well, it's never going to be a good one, but it just depends how bad it is. And it might be really bad if they're awful for the rest of the season, but it might actually not be too bad if we can come away with a losing bonus point or two, if they're going to be one of those teams who are up there. But we should. I think we can win it. It's just so hard at this point in the season to judge where teams are, isn't it?
Yeah, and just to throw, you know, into the mix that our game being moved to Sunday takes away 2 days of recovery for us, and it's now a 6-day turnaround. I mean, it's not as bad as Saints, who have to now rock up on Friday to play. So they've gone from a 7-day turnaround to a 5-day turnaround. That is unfair. And one thing we haven't discussed on this is, you know, did Premier Rugby make the right decision not to play on Friday night? You know, I think they pulled it out of the bag at the last minute by getting the games done this weekend. I think if there'd been delays and the two teams had to play later in the season, that would have been a disgrace and put us at a definite disadvantage. I do still think that, you know, clearly financially, Sale and Bristol are going to be severely impacted, which is not funny at the moment, especially for Sale. So I think that there's been a lot of, you know, people will just move on from it. But I think there was probably, it sounds like there was two clubs in that room playing silly buggers. And really the game should have gone ahead as planned on Friday night. So that quicker turnaround might affect our ability to go to Bath. We've had a day longer than us to recover. You never know. I would like a win. for the same reason that Lewis sort of set out. You know, we have to be winning those kind of games. But you don't know what team Bath are going to be this year. This is so brilliant about the Gallagher Premiership. You know, no one knew that Leicester would beat everybody last year. We would have gone into the season going, you know what? Leicester's the kind of game that we should be winning. Whereas now you go to Welford Road and get a losing bonus and we'll be dead chuffed, won't we? So you just don't know. But yeah, if we can get another win on the board and chalk up two in a row, I think then that's Sale fans being in quite an excited place for the season with the numbers of players still to come back with your Quirks and your Rods and your Hills and your Fords, you know, and your Tom Curries. There's a lot to be done there. I don't know if Tom Curry will be available because he did finish the Australian tour a week early. So it might be that he is available this week. If he is, I'd seriously be thinking about playing him at six and moving Jean-Luc into the second row and just keeping Beaumont on the bench just for another week. I think it's a lot to ask to go into the donkey row and push in a scrum when you've got dodgy knees. You know, with the length of time he's been out, I would treat him very, very carefully because you're absolutely right. From a line-out point of view, he is our best line-out forward in the squad, even including Johnny Hill, I would say. Just because Johnny Hill is new, he's going to take time to learn the calls. I don't think it didn't happen by accident that Tommy Taylor and Josh Beaumont have spent most of their lives you know, receiving or throwing a ball to each other, basically came on and sorted our line out in the second row. So that's what I would do. I don't know if Jean-Luc Dupree will be happy with that. There seems to be a promise that he's going to play a lot of six. But I just think Tom Curry is now more of a six than a seven. And I also think that Ben Curry being named captain, I think, you know, it'd be weird to just be chopping and changing him out of the team. If you're going to make him captain, let's make it sure that it's his team now and he should be playing, you know, the vast majority of games. The unknown is Jono and what we're going to see of him this season. Again, he could be an option to come in at six and Jean-Luc into the second row as well. So we'll see, right? But it's nice to have some options at this time of the season and with so many players to come back. So I suppose it leads us on to the predictions, does it though? Shall I just introduce those? So Lewis, yeah. What do you reckon? How's it going to end up?
I am feeling confident about this one. I do think Bath have just got such a long way to go to get back to where they need to be. I think Sale actually do have a good amount of consistency in the squad, and we saw that on Sunday. So I'm going to go Sale 22, Bath 10. I actually think we're going to squeeze them quite hard on Saturday. I really sort of take the game to them, and I think right now with where Bath are at, it's going to be very difficult for them to put points on the board, especially because I think realistically you saw that drop off from us against Saints last week. That's probably not going to happen in the same way again. So I'm predicting not a try bonus point for Sale, but just a good solid 12 point win. What about you, Alex?
Yeah, against my better instincts, I'm going to say that Sale are going to win. And I think we've got too much power for them. I think if we can shut down the game, we've shown we can do well against Bath at the Rec, and we should have beaten them there last season. And we have beaten them there in the past. So I'm going to say Sale 18, Bath 16. I think it'll be really close. I think it might be a bit more high scoring than that, but I think we might just edge it. So yeah, I'll go 18-16, but it could be a try fest, and I'm completely wrong, but I often am. So,
and for me, I think 24-10. I don't know which way, so I'm going to switch it around. I'll say 20-24, and back the boys this week. It's just at that point in the season, isn't it, where it's just predictions are very, very difficult, really, and. I just think, you know, we've got to back the boys to come away with a win. But I won't be surprised to see that the other way around. I would be disappointed if we didn't come away with a losing bonus. Like you, Lewis, I think expecting four tries, even with harder grounds, you know, the Rec is not a normal ground. And also, like, away from home, it is just more difficult. I don't think we can be in the clouds that way. So I don't think we'll get a losing bonus. Sorry, I don't think we'll get a try bonus. I think we'll at least get a losing bonus, and if the bounce of the ball goes our way, we'll win.
Well, perfect. Let's leave it there. Thank you so much to everyone for listening and rejoining us for another season of the pod. If you want us to go into sort of more in-depth thoughts in terms of where we see the season going for Sale, by all means, check out our season preview pod, which is on wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you to you boys for joining me. And how good to have Sale Sharks rugby back, especially when we're winning. So we'll be coming back to you next week, hopefully off the back of Sale going 2-for-2 from the first two rounds of the season, and hopefully no more cancellations this time. So thanks very much for listening, and we'll speak to you guys next week.